Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in hour number two, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Wednesday, wherever you may be listening to us across this great country or around the world, as I know we have a lot of listeners all over the place. There is a lot going on, much of it, unfortunately, of a negative nature. And one of the stories that we pledged that we would not abandon, even though many in the media have, is the disaster of our withdrawal in Afghanistan. 13 soldiers lost their lives. There are still American citizens left behind. It was Saigon on steroids, one of the most embarrassing American foreign policy disasters of our lives that has likely emboldened the Chinese as the situation in Taiwan deteriorates surrounding all of the flyovers that are occurring there. But what exactly happened in the suicide attack that killed 13 American soldiers has kind of been shrouded in mystery. We know that Biden withdrew from Afghanistan in a disastrous and dishonorable fashion. We know that he killed an innocent man and seven young children in response to this terror attack while claiming that this innocent man was involved with ISIS-K. And now it appears we have figured out how this terrorist who killed 13 American soldiers as well as dozens of Afghan people was able to do so. He had been in a prison at Bagram Airfield. And when the Americans abandoned that airfield, all of the prisoners who had been held there were released by the Taliban. And within days, this man had strapped himself to a suicide vest and he had blown himself up and killed 13 American soldiers. This is breaking news. Clarissa Ward breaking it on CNN. I believe we have the audio for you. Buck and I reacting to this as this news is now just spreading as we speak. Listen to this.
Abdulrahman Al-Lughari, the terrorist who from ISIS-K who was responsible for killing 13 American service members and dozens of Afghan civilians trying to get out of the country, that he had been held at Parwan prison in Bagram Air Base. When the Taliban took power on that Sunday, the first thing they did before coming into Kabul was essentially to empty the prisons at Parwan prison in Bagram and also in Pulacharki. And I remember that very well because there were very real security concerns across the whole capital that this could lead to a huge spike in crime and also terrorist activity. Parwan prison at Bagram held thousands of prisoners, but also specifically hundreds of very dangerous terrorists. Now, the Taliban was obviously trying to release their own people from the prison, but in the process, they did release these ISIS-K members.
Abdulrahman Al-Lughari, Clay, a guy from Logar province, just south of Kabul, an ISIS-K fighter. You see this and you say to yourself, again, when you look at the withdrawal debacle and the decision to release or to give up, I should say, Bagram Air Base. And with that, of course, the release of all of these very high risk prisoners. I mean, these are hardened terrorists. We're talking about people that rush to be a suicide bomber as soon as they get out of prison. I don't think you can make a stronger case for how devoted to jihadism and mayhem and murder somebody could be than that. But when they did this, meaning when the Biden administration planning went into effect here, they let Bagram go and all the people who were held in this prison go, understand that they added to the chaotic logistical withdrawal process that was going on the fact that they had the most dangerous fighters. I mean, if you're being kept at Bagram, you're an ISIS-K guy, you're a top tier risk inside of Afghanistan. They let hundreds of them go right at the same time that we are going to be reliant on the Taliban for security, not just at the airport, but entry and exit from Kabul overall. And now they want to tell us, meaning the Biden administration wants to tell us that this wasn't a complete and utter debacle, that it shows a lack of foresight is far too kind, shows really an ineptitude and a lack of ability to do this kind of planning that obviously we should think extends well beyond just Afghanistan. We have all the reporting right now about the threats that China is making about Taiwan. And you have to wonder, Joe Biden as commander in chief, when China is having some economic issues, but feeling particularly nationalistic about Taiwan, is this the guy you want making key decisions? Oh, it's going to be General Milley? Is that going to make people feel better? I don't think so.
Well, let's talk about this Bagram decision for a moment, because some of the officials, the generals, if I remember, they made the decision, hey, we can abandon Bagram and focus everything on the main airport, the Kabul airport, Hamid Karzai, I think it's called, airport in the center part of Kabul, with the idea being it would be somewhat easier to get in and out of that airport than Bagram, because Bagram is a more of a difficult trip outside of Kabul a little bit. But at a minimum, Buck, if we had just left enough forces to hold that airfield, I don't think it's very likely that the Afghans were going to storm it, right? Then we could have evacuated everybody, and those 13 people wouldn't have been blown up, because that terrorist would have been in prison until we actually left the country, right?
We can make this a common sense thing. I mean, yeah. You don't have to know anything about military planning or logistics to understand. If you're going to have a civilian evacuation operation underway, which is what we saw, evacuating tens of thousands of civilians, Americans, Afghans who worked with us that were SIV holders, special immigrant visa holders, you probably want to wait until you've got the civilians out or pretty much all out before you release the most hardened, trained terrorists in the country a quick bus ride from the capital city. I think that that's a pretty straightforward
proposition. It's not a difficult thing to say, well, wait a minute. If we let all of these, to say nothing, by the way, of what's going to happen to the Afghanistan people, right? Like the Afghanis. But if we've got all these American soldiers who are top targets, and we've got all these American citizens who are top targets, if we have some of the most dangerous terrorists in all of Afghanistan currently in prison, maybe we should keep them in prison until we actually get everybody who's an American out of the country. That's not a crazy decision.
That's just rational. And I would say this is one of these areas where there are places where we want political accountability against for the bad decision making of people like Joe Biden as commander in chief. But then there's also things where there are those aspects of governance where you want people to be making good decisions because the stakes are so high that it does transcend politics. And I think that it's not just about, we need to hold the Biden administration accountable so that we pick up more House seats in the next midterms. I mean, I think that that's true. But I think that's a worthwhile conversation as well. But there's Joe Biden is president, apparently, for the next 3 years. We need to be very cautious about making any assumption that decisions that are being made at this level, because we were sold on this idea, the adults are in charge, the adults that were in charge during the Obama administration, who are in charge again, by the way. I mean, the actual foreign policy apparatus is just a holdover from what they had for Obama's 8 years. I mean, the worst foreign policy decision making for an 8-year stretch in my lifetime. And people are being sold this idea that, the Biden, the steady hand, he's been in the game a long time. Joe Biden's not very smart. I mean, I almost feel like Hunter's a smart one, because he's selling $500,000 paintings when we all know
he made $11 million from China, and Hunter did. Joe Biden also, in addition to what you're saying about issues with the Obama foreign policy, he got arguably the biggest decision that Obama got right, which was killing Osama bin Laden. Remember, Joe Biden gave him the advice not to do it. Like, he even got that one wrong.
He is famous even in foreign policy circles in D.C., which I know, and I've worked at some of the think tanks, and I know these people, and obviously I was in the CIA, and some of the decision makers and people I was around, you know, they've now made their way into the senior ranks of either elected office or appointed office and things like that. And he's a guy, Clay, who is famous for pretty much always. It's so funny. They've sold us on Joe Biden's been in the job, so to speak, so long that you can trust him. He's been bad at the job the whole time he's had.
Almost always makes the wrong decision.
Always makes the wrong call. And they tell us, but he's made so many calls. I mean, this would be like the stockbroker that you've had for 30 years that only loses you money. And all you talk about is,
He's been there for a long time.
Been in the game for a while.
Yeah, there's that just provides you a long-range opportunity to look at the decisions that he's made so that you can tell how bad that is. And again, I think this adds more proverbial fuel to the fire as it comes to understanding what exactly went into our withdrawal from Afghanistan, because now we know that we had the person who killed the troops in prison, unable to hurt anybody, and we made the decision to abandon the Bagram Air Base as well as that prison, and directly our choice as a country. I'm saying our choice, Joe Biden and his administration's choice. And now, Buck, the very real consequences of our futility as it pertains to leaving that country are, it feels like, being exploited by China as it pertains to what's going on with Taiwan. Because they're basically saying, one, we don't trust Joe Biden to have any kind of muscular response. And two, the United States looks so impotent after our retreat and collapse in Afghanistan that there's no fear at all from the Chinese leadership.
I mean, the analysis that I just gave you and that we're talking about here when it comes to Biden being both weak, feckless, or rather a few things, weak, feckless, and often wrong on key decisions, that's not hard to come up with. I mean, that's just an understanding of reality and of recent history with this guy. So other countries, competitors, opponents, even enemies, they see this and they say to themselves, is now a good time? People forget this. When did Russia, you know, when did Russia get most aggressive with things like the eastern part of Ukraine? And it was under the Obama administration. People forget. When did Crimea? When did these things go down? It wasn't under Trump. And now, if you're a country that has territorial designs on one of your neighbors, whether it's, you know, irredentism about something like Taiwan, or now is the time to see what you can get away with.
I don't think there's any doubt. And that's a natural consequence of the collapse in Afghanistan. Diane, living out in the West Coast, by the way, wrote and shared how happy she is with our sponsor, Relief Factor. Within 4 days, she says, of starting to take this product, she went from staying put in a chair all day in misery to being out walking several miles a day. She's able to keep up her walking routine, she believes, in motion without pain because of Relief Factor. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free product, which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Made by doctors based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes right to the source of the inflammation, which is why hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them, including my wife and Buck's dad, go on to order more. How can you join those 500,000 people, Buck Sexton?
It's pretty easy, folks, and it's absolutely worth giving this a shot because, as Clay said, 7 out of 10, 70% go on to order more because it's working so well for them. Join the more than 500,000 people. Order that 3-week quick start, only $19.95, by going to relieffactor.com. Again, that website is relieffactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. You'll get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Clay and I are working through all the news of the day here. And one thing that we can pretty much, I think, put a, well, we can finish it off today. There's still some talk about the so-called whistleblower, Haugen, I believe is her name. I haven't heard anyone really pronounce her name one way or the other, so we'll say Haugen. She's been on Capitol Hill talking about how we need to protect the children. And as I've told you, whenever a Democrat, and she's aligned with a Democrat PR firm, you can just tell the Democrats who are questioning her on Capitol Hill are particularly pleased to see her and hear from her. You should always be cautious, though, whenever a Democrat says it's for the children. Nancy Pelosi loves to do that, by the way, whatever the issue is. You know, she wants to raise your taxes. It's for the children. She's always got some reason for why it's, you know, for the future generations. But really what they want, and I think this became clear if you listen to the testimony, What they want is to put a super regulatory authority, which would be within the federal government, right? So they create some, like the TSA for Facebook, so that they can make sure everyone's safe. This is what they're saying. And she said something like it.
I also believe there needs to be a dedicated oversight body, because right now the only people in the world who are trained to analyze these experiments, to understand what's happening inside of Facebook, are people who, you know, grew up inside of Facebook or Pinterest or another social media company. And there needs to be a regulatory home where someone like me could do a tour of duty after working at a place like this, and have a place to work on things like regulation, to bring that information out to the oversight boards that have the right to do oversight.
A regulatory agency within the federal government?
Yes.
Not even legislation she wants, Clay. She wants the TSA for Facebook, basically. Or, you know, she wants the SEC, if you want to say, for Facebook. Oh, okay. That's going to really protect from politicization and censorship, right? That's going to work out great.
Well, and also it's totally unworkable. And this gets into a lot of the conversation we were having yesterday. Buck, there are a lot of things that are wrong about big tech. There are also a lot of things that can make it worse about trying to solve the issues with big tech. And we have to be careful that we don't make an already bad situation worse by getting the government involved in some significant way. And one way that would be significant would be in allowing the government, or an agency of the government, even worse almost, to be determining what is true and false, what is correct information and what is misinformation. Because as we have seen, so much that has been labeled false for the last 4 or 5 years has turned out to be true. And so much that was labeled to be to be true has turned out to be false, right? I mean, they've gotten things so fundamentally wrong that literally we're living in an upside down world.
One of the, you know, we often talk about a root fallacy or a root weakness of the left is hypocrisy. And now we're at the point where I think they just embrace hypocrisy where they can as a manifestation of their power. But another one is always hubris. You notice this among leftists. They really think they got the answers to a lot of things when they don't know squat. And there's a different word I would use if we weren't on radio.
Yeah.
But they don't know squat. They like to walk around and tell everybody else whether, and now you see this with COVID, you see it with everything, right? This is why they are the never ending busybodies who want to tell everybody else what to do about everything, including Facebook. By the way, if people are on Facebook too much, if kids are on, their parents should say, get off of Facebook.
It's why we kept our kids off social media. And I'd encourage everybody out there to keep your kids off social media as long as you possibly can.
You know, if we've learned anything since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as keeping your immune system in tip-top shape. You know, it is your first and final line of defense against pathogens, everything else. That's why naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. He did this 20 years ago, and people have been having incredible results for years. I've known Dr. Black for years. I love this product. You can build your body's defense from the inside out because there's 55 vine-ripened fruits and veggies, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes in Texas Superfood. This is stuff you need. But do you get all your fruits and veggies in your diet every day? Probably not. Take Texas Superfoods. If you can't, want, or don't get all those fruits and veggies in your diet, Texas Superfood was made for you. You can start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. And Buck, I don't know about you, but man, some days it feels like there are so many just negative stories out there. And so I think we can at least bring some humor and some fun by pointing out who I believe is the dumbest person in all of media, which honestly we should probably have, Buck.
Like an ongoing contest? Challenge. Should we actually have like real parameters here for the dumbest person in the news media?
I think we should have a bracket challenge for the NCAA tournament come March. The dumbest people in media, and let our listeners vote and set up an entire bracket challenge. Different regions. We can have, you know, your television region. We can have your radio region. We can have a lot of fun with it. But I think Joy Behar is close to being a number one seed in stupidity. And I understand she's originally a comedian, so she's probably not renowned for her intelligence in the first place. But we have a lot of people clipping different segments from television for us that we can check out and make sure. It's hard to be on top of everything that idiots out there are saying on a day-to-day basis. But without fail, I see a really stupid take. And it's either Joy Behar or Don Lemon, like 90%, or maybe Joy Reid. Those three, I feel like, are the triumvirate of stupidity. We might need to add another one to put them on the Mount Rushmore of idiocy. I don't know who you would think, but would you agree that it's tough to beat Joy Behar, I mean, Don Lemon, Behar, and Joy
Clay
Reid?
Clay is mansplaining again here on the show.
I think he's
a sexist and a mansplainer.
I think you could disagree a lot with Rachel Maddow or Anderson Cooper, for instance. But I don't think that they're insanely dumb in the arguments that they make.
People won't like to hear. I know enough people that have worked with and for, like, Rachel Maddow is not dumb. She's a smart lady. Yeah. I think she's disingenuous, right. But she's not dumb.
Yeah, right. So I think it's hard to attack those guys. Whereas I genuinely am not that convinced that Don Lemon, Joy Behar, and that crew are actually very intelligent.
I actually think Matthew Dowd, who I think is running for Texas. I don't know if you know who that guy is.
I don't even know who that is.
He was a political guy. He has some takes of political analysis that are like nuclear explosion level stupid. And then there's also Steve Schmidt, who was of the Lincoln Project.
He turned on Trump, right?
Right. He's all of a sudden going on TV. He's like, yeah, if we don't get rid of Trump, the whole nation's on fire. Send me checks.
The one who picked Sarah Palin for McCain?
Yes. Yeah. You knew that there was something up with him because in the HBO movie, the entire movie was to mock Sarah Palin, of course, whatever. Well, not recount. That was the election one. That was Game Change.
Yes.
And that whole movie,
which
Schmidt
is
played by Woody Harrelson, who's like the one man of character, which means that he worked with the people making the movie and they made him look good as he fed them stuff about how terrible Sarah Palin was. That was that game.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Joy Behar has decided, and I mean, there have been others who have defended the idea that you should follow Senator Sinema into the bathroom with a camera and record things from inside of there. But the idea that they would put her on television, have you seen, like, there have been Democratic, you know, operatives willing to do this?
The Democrat left believes in this and will defend it, actually. I mean, you know, if you turn on some of the more far left stuff, too, that's out there, there's a bunch of these kind of internet left wing outfits. I don't even want to name them on this show, give them the pub that they don't deserve. But they will defend this stuff. They'll say, absolutely, it's worth it to chase. And remember, there's also a lot of disingenuousness around this. The issue is not yelling at a politician, right? When people want to yell, let's go Brandon, at the sitting president as he drives by, this is America, baby. That's the First Amendment. Let's go Brandon. We all know, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a thing that happens. The problem is not a public person with Kristen Sinema. It's Kirsten, right?
Yeah, I always cross that
Kirsten,
up, too. It's Kirsten.
There are probably some Kirstens and Kristens listening to this right
get
now.
Upset about us.
Can we get all of you together and we can agree the name is either Kristen or Kirsten? Because it's just too hard for the rest of us.
That's why I keep saying Sinema. Just use her last name.
Yeah, Sinema. There we go. And they act like the problem is we're challenging power. No, that's not the problem. The problem is we want to live in a somewhat just a little bit civilized these days. I mean, there are people who think it's okay to put their phone on speaker in a restaurant, Clay. Good heavens. There's a lot of barbarians out there. But we want to live in a civilized country, and that means you can't follow anyone, including politicians, into the bathroom while they are doing their business and videotape them with the toilets flushing. That's the objection.
Pretty basic. I think 90% of people in America agree with that. One of the dumbest people in America on television, Joy Behar, disagreed. This is what she said on The View.
Sinema is MIA all over the place.
Yeah.
She's not around. They call her to have a meeting. They try to get her on the phone. Mm-hmm. She's like a missing person. So this is the only alternative they have.
What? First of all, this idea that Sinema doesn't know that people have this political position. People are like, well, I need to have a meeting so I can advocate for my position. I know what your position is. There are lots of people advocating for your position. I don't need to hear you advocate for that position in order to have my opinion on that position change in any way, right? I mean, it's not a novel issue. Also, she can't solve it herself. And there are lots of ways that you can advocate for a position without running your camera in a bathroom while someone's doing their business.
And let's also remind ourselves here that I think the normal human response to somebody doing this kind of targeted harassment is, oh, what's that thing you want? Because now you're really not going to get it. Oh, you think that this is the way to get what you want by trying to, you know, and by the way, you see this, I think there's a huge part of the, not to get on a whole vaccine discussion now, but a huge part of the backfire is people
mandate.
Just have, people who believe in freedom and individual
yes.
agency and autonomy have a revulsion against others saying, you must do this, right? You have to do this.
That's
push back on that. And I think even though Sinema, let's be very clear, is a person of the left, she's very much a Democrat. She's not Manchin's a little bit of a different category. Sinema's, you know, to the left of Manchin. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, she's not obviously AOC, but she's to the left of Manchin. And when you try to make someone do what you want in this way, I think the normal response, I think Sinema might have even put this out in the statement, which is like, you think I'm going to do what you want now? I'm going to incur, you know, don't negotiate with bathroom terrorists.
Yeah,
that's
no doubt. And that was my argument about how Biden totally bungled this, Buck, was, all he had to do was be basic and decent, and he might be able to gain a little bit of favor with Sinema. But he was, when he said it's part of the process, and then he had to have Jen Psaki come clean it up for him. I mean, that was an imbecilic response.
Remember, part of the pitch for why Joe Biden should have been elected was normalcy. You know, he's going to bring back America. He's America's grandfather. No joke. You know, all that stuff. Just remember, this is who they actually elected. A guy who won won't even be America's grandpa in a moment like this and say, hey, everybody, let's behave.
Yes.
But also says stuff like this, Clay.
Parenthetically, when you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the American Oil Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area. They went from state to state convincing people that allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around.
This guy's from Delaware. What's with the folksy thing? I've known plenty of people from Delaware that are like, my grandpa back in the unbelievable.
Also, I just continue to say this, and unfortunately it's true. Everybody's going to go to Thanksgiving, and there is going to be someone at your Thanksgiving table who sounds like Joe Biden. And it's not going to be the person you'd want making decisions for all the finances of the family.
Oh, you mean in terms of the cognitive decline?
Yes.
I thought you meant the politics of a
lib
at the family. Because we will help you. It's one thing Clay and I will do. We'll prepare you for how to crush libs at the Thanksgiving table because you can't ignore them.
Not,
but yeah, no, the
I'm
cognitive decline thing is sad. They're actually, I mean, it reminds me of a member of my family from years ago who had that cognitive decline situation. And I am actually angry. The same way that I get angry at adults who listen to Greta Thunberg when she was 16
yes.
and knew nothing, and I thought that was pathetic. I actually wouldn't attack her. She's 16 years old. I'm angry. I mean, Biden's president, so I'm going to attack him personally and on other things. But I'm angry at the handlers around him, the Democrat Party, for pushing a cognitively declining person into the role of president. And the recklessness behind that is really disgusting.
Amen. And it also just wildly unfortunate. But when I hear statements like that from Biden, it just harkens back to, and I think there's everybody out there listening knows what I'm talking about, somebody at Thanksgiving who is no longer all there. And imagine if your family, just your family, not the entire country, one big family that we are, fractious as it may be, imagine if that person got to make every decision for your family, it would be a disaster. That's where we are
yeah,
as a country
you,
right
you
now.
Wouldn't want that person in charge, honestly, of the family checkbook. And,
that's right.
And you certainly wouldn't want them in charge of the nuclear codes. And that's where we are. Renee in Jacksonville, Florida writes, got the 14-day supply of Rough Greens, and my Labrador loves it. Her coat is much shinier, and her breath is much better. I'm a believer and love knowing she's eating the nutrients that are killed by baked kibble out there. They don't have that live stuff. Now I'm a Rough Greens subscriber. Look, Rough Greens is a supplement that we've been adding into Tallulah the Frenchie's food in the Sexton family, and it has helped her digestion. It is a huge benefit in her day-to-day diet. Remember, dog food is dead food. There are no live nutrients in it, and dogs need live nutrition just like we do. Rough Greens is not dog food. It's a healthy supplement that you add into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. I'm sure some of you take you know, acidophilus, probiotics or whatever. Your dog needs that stuff too. This is a way to get those good things, vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils into your dog's food. It'll make your dog happy, healthier, and better for the whole family to enjoy. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love Rough Greens, they've got a special deal for listeners of this show. You just go to roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. Wow, show is flying by today, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, as it tends to do. If you missed any part of it, please go check out the podcast. It's broken down for you hour by hour, right? So if you miss hour one, but you listen to hour two and hour three on our wonderful affiliate stations, 400 plus of them across the country, you can go catch the hour you missed. Make sure you didn't lose out on any of the important stories and analysis we give you here. The iHeartRadio app is a fantastic place to get it. Make sure you subscribe to the Clay and Buck podcast, please. And also go to clayandbuck.com for website updates. 800-282-2882 on the phone lines. In the next hour, we'll bring you the latest on that that active shooter situation in Texas. We pretty much have it close to a, well, we know the situation. It's not at a resolution in terms of the shooter in custody yet, but we'll bring you the latest information on what has happened there. We know there are four victims in that Texas high school shooting. Also, crime data from the CDC, murders, according to the CDC, set a new record. We'll discuss that with you. And the FBI looking at people that are criticizing teachers as a domestic terror threat. This is a real thing. The soccer mom insurrectionists that the FBI has to be chasing down now. That's what they want you to be worried about. I'm not worried, but I'm worried about what the FBI is going to do. George in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. And yeah, those will be the next people on Facebook that will be sequestered. And so that's what I was calling about this Democrat operative, whatever you want to call her, right? There's enough ties, there's enough dotted lines. I think you can make a solid line. But again, she's going to try to, because I do think there's going to be some oversight at some point with social media. So why not hedge your bet now? The conservatives, white supremacists, whatever, we're the ones being sequestered right now. So she gets up there and says, we need government oversight, which is code for it's going to be Democrats. It's going to be a Democrat committee that would have the oversight. So now they really lock down a speech in terms of social media because their own companies do it. Then you'd have a Democratic government agency doing it. We'll never get our voices out there.
George, Clay, I entirely agree with him. What do you want to add? Oh, well, George, I think you're spot on. So I think you're correct. Clay, we'll come back with Clay in just a second here. Bill in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Hey, Bill.
Hi, thank you. Hi.
Yes, sir. What's up? Talk to us.
God, you know, much like anything else, if it needs to get passed, they can make one piece of paper, get it signed off. But if they were to get John Kerry up there and find out who he was talking about is running the show, I would not even fund one thing past till John Kerry answers for his interview on the France radio about who's running the submarine deal on Australia that Biden didn't know about. They can pass the Iron Dome with one piece of paper and run right past the squad. They need this debt ceiling done. They could do it with one piece of paper and be done in 10 minutes. They choose not to. But who is running the operation?
Bill, I appreciate you bringing this up because we actually have this this soundbite here of John Kerry basically saying, well, you can't blame Joe Biden. He doesn't know anything.
About it, and I told him and expressed.
You told Joe Biden that it was not the right.
He asked me. He said, "What's the situation?" And I explained exactly. He had not been aware of that. He literally had not been aware of what had transpired. And I don't want to go into the details of it, but suffice it to say, that the president, my president, is very committed to strengthening the relationship and making sure that this is a small event of the past and moving on to the much more important future.
Clay, I think that the president should know about a nuclear deal involving the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. I think that should be kind of higher on the list than, say, you know, the latest Hunter Biden art sale.
Well, what's crazy is, Buck, that actually makes total sense to me, though. The incompetence of John Kerry in terms of describing Joe Biden, I think most people out there listening are like, yeah, I can totally buy that he is so not aware of what's going on that it's possible a deal this big could be announced and that he could have totally bungled this process, not by making a bad decision, but by being so unaware of what's going on that whoever's running the White House is making that decision. And that's a little bit scary, right? Because France, I mean, whatever you think about our relationship with France, it was considered so far outside the diplomatic mainstream that they pulled their ambassador from the country, which almost never happens.
That's a big deal in diplomatic circles.
Yes.
It's kind of thing that you would think would be averted by the adults in the room of the Biden administration foreign policy team. But that we all know that's kind of like saying that Joe Biden's going to unite the country. It's become an unfunny joke at this point.
Or solve COVID.
Or solve COVID, even less true situation. So we'll come back with all of you here in just a few minutes talking to you about this CDC crime data, the biggest increase in murders in 100 years. Plus, FBI really is apparently going to be looking for parents.
I might be in trouble.
Teachers. Clay, I was going to say, Clay Travis with his anti-mask antics in Tennessee may have some men with badges showing up at his door.
They might break down the door, Buck. Who knows?
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.